I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. Liz Wright's musical debut was in jazz and blues. The new Liz Wright album finds her exploring rock and pop and Latin, even kids' music.
Wake up, wake up, little sparrow. Don't make your home out in the snow. Don't make your home out in the snow.
Artists like Ella Jenkins and Herb Alpert were in the twilight of their own musical careers before Liz Wright was even born. Perhaps that's why the voice of this young singer adds such distinct new dimension to works that in some ways became almost too familiar. It'll be a long time before anyone says that about Liz Wright's voice. Hers is one tuned in the choir of a Southern Holiness church and tested by a range of work most artists today wouldn't even dare to try. Liz is here to play and to talk about her music. We'd like to have you join us. Does it matter at all to you where a song comes from? Jazz, pop, rock? Are you more comfortable when you know what it is you're going to expect from an artist? Or do you like to be surprised by a range of music and songs? Our number's 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Liz Wright is here along with two guitarists, True and Mike Moreno. It's nice to have the three of you here. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you, Dick. Thanks.
I have to tell you that talking over your singing voice is something I felt a little bit uncomfortable doing. It's a distinct voice, and it's kind of nice to just let it go a little bit. We will have a chance to do that this hour. The name of the album, Dreaming Wide Awake. Now, is that just a kind of daydreaming, or is it something more than that?
Well, when you think of the song itself, it just really has to do with how perfect love is, but it's only perfect in a moment, and it keeps moving and changing, you know, almost like the weather. And I remember someone asked my parents, they're like, you know, are you guys happy? And they're like, depends on what day you ask us, you know. I mean, everybody says that, you know. I was just trying to kind of catch the firefly. But then when you think of Dreaming Wide Awake, just the phrase, for me, you know, it just has a lot to do with not needing to grip things or to own things, you know. And when I went into making this record, the truth is that I needed a break. I needed to open my mind again. So I was very open to trying things I wouldn't have usually picked up. And then again, the ironic thing is that I feel much closer to home with this record than the first one.
Why is that? Because the roots of this music are really deep, but they're really varied at the same time.
It's just, they're good stories, and that's what I'm used to. And working on this project reminded me that that's what's important to me. When a song has a good story inside of it, I can commit to it and be carried by it. Like, I don't even have to really figure anything out or decide how the arrangement's going to be. It's my relationship to, like, the story that's inside the lyric.
Can you make that work for you on stage night after night? The story in the song, can you actually get it to take you where it's taking the people who are listening?
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise I'd be bored to death. It's way too many shows and the same songs. I mean, absolutely, I count on that every night, you know, to fall back into something and to be daydreaming or yeah, and the words, they kind of hold a different color every day, you know, so it's really cool, like, to keep doing the same thing and watch it move around on its own.
Now, you're doing some writing on this album as well. Is that something new for you?
I'm sorry?
Doing some writing. Is that new for you, or have you always fooled around with songwriting on the has it always been a part of your kind of career?
Well, I wrote almost half the first record.
Yeah.
I wrote much less for this one. I've been writing for a bit now. I mean, probably since some time in high school. Yeah, and for this record, I wrote less because I was trying to write on guitar, which I don't know how to play. And I'm so frustrated because I don't have time to learn. But I did what I could with a couple chords and a couple lessons, you know.
Okay, so this is where I got sidetracked, because the song that you're going to play it actually comes from you sitting there with a guitar and working on what? Amazing Grace?
Yeah, I learned to play Amazing Grace in G. Yep.
And that led you to the song that we're about to hear hit the ground, or at least
it gave
in
me
some
chords. I had had a feeling a long time ago. I mean, I'm probably full of ripe feelings that are just waiting to hit the ground. You know, oh gee, I just pun on my own words. That's so cheesy. No, but it's true though. I'm in such a hurry, like, to learn more, so I can just get it out. I think it's more about what we feel, and then we try to find a vehicle to get it out. But yeah.
Well, let's hear this one. This is from the Dreaming Wide Awake album. The name of this song is Hit the Ground. My guest is Liz Wright.
Hit the ground, baby. It's all right now. Hit the ground, baby. Take your veil down. See your eyes in mine, and leave the rest behind. Hit the ground. I want to love you right now. Hit the ground, baby. Everything's gonna be all right now. Hit the ground, baby. You gonna make it somehow. Why are you lonely when the day has just begun? Hit the ground, baby. Hit the ground. Hit the ground, baby. Hit the ground.
Liz Wright with the song from her new album, Dreaming Wide Awake. That one's called Hit the Ground. Our telephone numbers, 1-800-423-8255. Holly Hills, South Carolina. Scott's joining us on the line. Hello, Scott.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Are you loving that voice as much as I am?
Oh, yes, it's wonderful. I had the opportunity to see her at the Blue Note with Terrence Blanchard in Manhattan when I did a project in Newark, New Jersey up there. And I bought her CD. Well, I bought four of them, actually. She autographed two of them for me, and I never had the opportunity to thank her.
You can do that now.
Well, thank you very much, Liz.
It's my pleasure, Scott.
And I sure hope, I'm in Charleston, South Carolina now, and I sure hope you make a tour stop on this schedule. I try and check your website quite frequently and see where you're at so I can attend another performance.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking forward to coming down south. I've definitely got to make some stops at home and around home, and yeah, I think I'm darn near being omnipresent these days.
Well, you do a fantastic job.
Tell me what
it
is. Hey, Scott, tell me what it is about Liz's voice that somehow caught your attention with all the other music that's available. Why did that one voice sort of stick out to you?
Well, I first heard it on your WBGO station up there, and to me, it's just a wonderful calming effect that I enjoyed in my commute down the turnpike and such there in Newark. You know, it just seemed to prevent the road rage.
Is it for you, Liz, a calming experience to sing?
Well, that makes me happy because, you know, when I was in church, which is most of my musical experience and most of my life, that's the kind of gospel I did, was like the worship part of the service, which is more about meditation and relaxing and like and just becoming open and like peaceful, like ready for the sermon. So that was a part of the service where I was, you know, where I was called upon.
I was going to ask you if you did the sort of full throttle gospel at the same time, or
no, I never could really do that. I can feel it every now and then, and get it, but it's rare. I think my soul is made of water, and it takes a lot to get it to boil, you know. Like, and it's just not often that's going to happen. You know, I'm pretty mellow.
And when you were singing for the worship part of the service, was it whatever you wanted to sing? Were they gospel songs sort of sung in that quiet, calming voice of yours?
They were gospel songs, but they had like few lyrics, maybe only a couple of sentences, a lot of repeating. A lot of times it was slow, and it was just really about helping people like get into a space. It was almost like leading a kind of group meditation.
And on your own, just with no instrumentation?
I would play the piano. Yeah. I was a musical director at my dad's church, so yeah, I would play. And at one point I was being hired by all these different churches, like Lutheran, Pentecostal, Baptist, Seventh-day Adventist, to do the same worship service. So that was a really interesting time in high school.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that, and talk more about the range of music that is covered in Liz Wright's new disc, Dreaming Wide Awake. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Just a little taste of another piece from that disc we're listening to just coming up to the break. Stop. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection, and this is the voice of Liz Wright. Choice of an artist there, Canada's favorite hippie grunge rocker, Neil Young. Is that your choice of a song? Where did that idea come from?
I chose to do every song I did. Craig Street, the producer, he and I went through this process of making compilations for each other. And
mixtapes?
Yeah, we traded maybe 50 songs. This particular one came, though, when I was rehearsing for the record, and the guitarist, Chris Bruce, was just playing it during a break.
Yeah.
And Craig was like, let's try that. We were just trying everything. But this was.
And looking for what? Was it looking for the story? What were you looking for? What's the magic?
No, we were just looking for what felt good right away, and for lyrics that I could commit to right away. And then whatever happened after that was what happened. You know?
Did this surprise you when you tried it? Just sort of like, wait, we've got something here.
It's such a strong lyric. It's such a well-built house. I mean, you really can do anything with this song. The song's great.
So when you pick up something that is in so many ways so distinctive and so linked to one artist, do you need to find a connection with that artist? Are you basically taking the building blocks and starting all over again?
I am taking the building blocks. These are really good building blocks, just really good lyrics. And, you know, one thing I should explain is that, you know, I don't feel tied to my history. I feel like I haven't lived my whole life with my eyes open, paying attention to what's happening and what has happened. I feel like, you know, and maybe this is part of, you know, something that has to do with how I was raised. I think I spent a lot of my time just living in my head. You know, that's the only thing I got spankings for, was staring at people and daydreaming.
Well, and how old are you, Liz?
I'm 25.
So you're just starting anyway.
Yeah, yeah. But just to say that I don't take things so seriously. And I'm not aware of the weight of the history, you know, of the music that I do. I feel like I'm in a toy store. I mean, I just started singing, like, non-gospel music after 18, you know. So I haven't had any time to say what I do or don't do. I'm just still playing, you know.
Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, Taste of Honey. That goes back to the Whipped Cream album cover. I have to tell you, my father loved that album. Was that one that you got as a mixtape from Craig, or did you cook that up? Where did that come from?
Actually, I've never heard that.
No way!
Actually, when I told Craig that I wanted to do Taste of Honey, he's like, girl, why do you want to do that? Because I guess this is what he heard, you know, or like the Beatles version, which is... And I had only heard like a Sarah Vaughan recording of it, and it was a waltz, but it was still sad. That still bittersweet part of it was really brought out front. And then I heard a Chet Baker recording with just him and piano, and it also had that really beautiful melancholy. So I was sold on that. And I had no idea, like, the song was interpreted this way, or like, oh, jolly and stuff.
The interesting thing is that for people who know A Taste of Honey just with the brass, mm-hmm. well, a lot of people don't even know it has lyrics, don't know you can change the speed, don't know that it's a really sad story. Let's listen to a little bit of what you're doing with it. Sad song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, Craig, so silly, he said it was kind of ghostly, you know, like an obsessed lover who, like, is finally giving up, but just for now, and, like, swears to come back like some ghost or something. He's crazy. I'm sad, but he's dark.
It's a ballad, mm-hmm. in a way. I mean, that's when you're talking about finding stories in songs, you're talking about the ballad quality of a song. Is that what appeals of... as an example in this one?
Well, yes, that is the appeal in this song. But when you just have the lyrics, just the words, it's easier to see what your relationship is with just those words, and you can build your arrangement and your interpretation from that point. Yeah.
I'm wondering if I can put your musicians to work here and hear something live in the studio. I guess I'll put your musician to work. You've been working steadily. What are we going to listen to here? This one is I'm Confessing. Anything that we should know about this song before we hear it?
No.
Okay. Liz Wright from Dreaming Right Wide Awake. This is a song called I'm Confessing.
I'm confessing that I love you. Tell me, do you love me too? I'm confessing that I need you. Honest, I do. I need you every moment. In your eyes I read strange things, but your lips deny they're true. Will your answer really change things?
making me blue. I'm afraid someday you'll leave me, saying, can we still be friends? Well, if you go, you know you'll grieve me, 'cause all in life on you depends. Am I guessing that you love me? Dreaming dreams of you in vain. I'm confessing that I love you over and over again. Confessing that I love you. Tell me, do you love me too? I'm confessing that I need you. Honest, I do. I really need you, and I do love you.
Guitarists are True and Mike Marino. The singer is Liz Wright. That's a song from her new disc, Dreaming Wide Awake. Why the chuckle at the end there? Did it not end the way you were expecting it to?
But, you know, I like that, you know, because it's not supposed to be perfect. It's supposed to feel good, you know?
I wanted to ask you about the mix of acoustic guitar in your voice, because you said earlier that you'd picked up an acoustic guitar and kind of fooling around with it. Now you get a chance to hear it with your voice. Is that something new?
Yeah. It leaves a lot of room, you know. I just because I just sing in these long lines, and the guitar is like in a whole different register and like a whole different just sonically they make a good pair. I feel very free singing with guitar.
Was there ever guitar in your dad's church, or was it always the organ?
No, it was just the organ. It's organ and keyboards and drums and bass. I mean, and often I would just sing with just piano, especially during like worship service. It was just piano and voice. But I like things in their simplest state. And this is just fun. Yeah.
Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. Liz Wright is my guest. Does it matter to you, Connection listeners, where a song comes from? Is it just what an artist chooses to do with that song? Do you need to put it in a box, in a shelf in the music store that says this is jazz or this is blues or this is pop or this is rock? Or can you get an artist occasionally who just sort of erases all those definitions? 1-800-423-TALK is the number to join us. Your house when you were growing up, I gather, was pretty strict.
Yeah, very.
No television?
No. We had one for a short period, and I remember Dad putting an ad in the paper and all these folks coming in to look at it. I mean, you sold it for nothing.
Why did he buy it?
I don't know. You know, when we had it, it was the devil. I mean, like, he and Mom would go to Bible study, and we'd watch TV, and I remember he caught us one time because we had it turned off when he came up the driveway. The driveway is long, and it's gravel, so you can hear him coming. But the back of the TV was still warm. So we...
Wait a second. He's going to come in and put his hand over the TV?
Oh, he was a detective. I mean, he was, like, looking for a reason, you know? And, I mean, he used to be such a meanie. And so we, you know, he just taught us to be sneaky. We started fanning the TV and guessing when he'd be back. His church was, like, 30 miles away, you know? So I remember fanning the back of the TV.
Did you get in trouble on that day?
Yeah. We got spankings and... Actually, that stuff's a real drag, you know. It's funny. I mean, I'm thankful now for what's become of me, but gee, I mean, I've just never understood what's supposed to come of, like, being so hard on kids, you know, that hard on children. And just really wanting, like, perfect behavior all the time is just, it's so not natural.
What do your mother and father think about the music that you're singing now? Do they think about it as secular music, as non-religious music? Was it difficult for you to leave the church?
You know, I'm very, very, very blessed because my parents have actually grown with me, you know. The interesting thing is, though, while I was trying to find my voice and really trying to test my ideals of music, doing music that was still spiritual but addressing natural things. That's what I loved about jazz. And just really trying to find my own voice. During that period, I took myself far away from my parents because I didn't even want to cast a shadow on their ministry and their credibility as ministers. And so, yeah, I did it all off to myself. And maybe a year and a half ago in Jacksonville, Florida, was probably like the second time that my parents saw me sing, and it wasn't gospel. And I think by that time, I'd given myself enough space and time to come full circle and do what I really thought for a long time I could do, which was to keep the spirituality. And still there's like an element of like praise and thanksgiving too. You know, they could see that I didn't look that different from when I was in church.
Did you know they were coming on that day to that performance?
Yeah.
Were you nervous about that?
No, we all have changed a lot. And it was actually, that day was a really important day because from that point on, I mean, I think my parents became my friends and we started talking about everything very openly. And, you know, compared to a lot of other kids raised in the same situation that I was, it's quite a miracle that my parents and I really know each other and like each other so much better. We've all changed a lot.
It's a cool story. 1-800-423-8255. To Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Christine's joining us on the line. Hi, Christine.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well.
I'm going to say that I'm looking at Liz's right picture on the internet, and she's a beautiful young woman that is really just so glad to know another musician that has come from a church background. And her, anything she says is very calming in her tone of voice. And one of the things that I really liked was the way she said that her spirit is like water. And I don't know, just something that drew me to want to find more out about her. She reminds me of Liz. Remember Lori Lieberman a long time ago that sang Killing Me Softly with his song before somebody else made it popular?
It was Roberta Flack's performance, I think.
Well, that, she did. Yeah. But Killing Me Softly was, I think, Lori Lieberman was a musician back when I was, you know, over 20 years ago, that has, there's got to be somebody that remembers Lori Lieberman. That she has the same kind of sound that Liz Ryan. Yeah. But anyway, I just want to say that this is wonderful to use your talent, even though you're brought up in church, and myself, I'm the same way, and I'm reaching out and being really who I am inside, and God gave us all of these gifts.
Yeah.
You know, anything that we have is from God, no matter what religion you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I also admire the way that you were careful not to get all in the hype up of Christian praise music, because I'm kind of like that myself as a musician in a church.
Mm-hmm.
And
let me just interrupt if I can for half a second, Laurie. Just a quick word here from Liz. If the song is handled in a respectful way,
mm-hmm.
I mean, assuming it's not some slasher thing, can it always have that spirituality, that respect, that praise element that you were talking about? Can you do that with a much wider range of songs than people might imagine?
It's possible. Certain lyrics, of course, lend more room for that than others. But the spirit is what's obvious. Like, it doesn't even need to be like... I mean, it's just so clear, you know? It's like the sun.
But to me, it's not necessarily in the lyric. It's in the tone of your voice, right?
Well, you know, maybe it is, but I don't know, man. I've never wanted to... I don't know how to sing without the spirit. I'm always looking for a feeling. I'm always looking for a space to be in. And, I'm using the lyric. I'm using my tone and everything to give it to everybody else. It's very hard to explain. It's like, yeah, it's almost nonsense.
It's not nonsense. It is hard to explain, but I think that's what makes it so mysterious or so magical. Liz Wright is my guest this hour. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. This is more of Liz Wright. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. Liz Wright is here with us in the studio talking about where the music comes from. We'd like to hear from you on how you're hearing the music. We're going to Charlottesville, Virginia for a call from Kate. Hello, Kate.
Hello. This is the first time that I've heard Liz Wright's music, and I don't listen to the radio except for NPR, and I don't have TV, but I just wanted to share with her that it touched me so much that I was like, this has to be in my birth room when I give birth.
Oh, wow.
That's really nice. Are you pregnant now, Kate?
Yes, I'm due in 2 weeks, and it just struck a chord with me, and it felt so peaceful and calming, and I needed to, it just hit me, and I just wanted to share that with her.
Wow, thank you so much. I'm trying not to tear up. That's wow. Wow.
I would have thought you'd have that music all selected by now, Kate.
Well, we're not always as ready as we think we are.
Wow. Are you having a little girl or a boy?
I don't know.
Wow.
Are you just having a little human.
I see. Oh, wow. All the best to you, Kate. Wow.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your music.
It's my pleasure.
Do you get blindsided by that more often than I can imagine? I mean, that is kind of a like, whoa, you'll end up being a part of Kate's recollection of her birth and, you know, maybe on a tape that the baby will hear 10 years from now.
But, you know, everything I do is a collection of not just who I am as an individual, but what I've been around. And so it's a compliment to the way that I live my life and how open I've been, you know. So it makes me really happy, and I feel like every good compliment and every good experience is a compliment to every impression that's ever been made on me. And it encouraged me to just keep being open, you know, not limiting myself.
There's a part of the story of the making of this album which we should hear from you, because it's got to have contributed to that calming sense that you're able to project. I mean, you mm-hmm. do it here in the studio, so clearly mm-hmm. it's not all about wherever you're recording, but mm-hmm. but the recording must have, the location had something to do with it, Liz?
Yeah, absolutely, it did. You know, we recorded this record up at the studio called Allaire, up in the mountains, the Catskill Mountains, just beyond Woodstock, and I think it was around October, and we were staying up in this old mansion, and you know, it was just great to be out in nature. Every morning before the sessions, I would go out and just run in the woods, or go out to the lookout and look down over the reservoir. And, you know,
What time of year was it?
October, so like the
colors leaves were there.
Yeah, everything was changing, like right while we were there. And even in the studio, we were all in this, in the older room. There are like two main rooms you can record in. We're in the older room, high ceiling, mostly wood, huge fireplace, which we had on some of the time. And, yeah, we were all in the same room, except the drummer was behind some glass doors. But I really enjoyed the fellowship that evolved between myself and the musicians and just the conversations. I just did a lot of listening and being quiet. The only exciting thing was that I got wasps in my room every day. And I didn't want to kill them, so that was only...
What did you do?
Well, on the last day, there was a big group of them, so... I feel so bad.
You sprayed them all,
didn't
you?
There are any Buddhists there, like, cover your ears. I've had them vacuumed. There's just too many of them.
You know, I vacuumed a bee off a window once and then went outside and let him go. He wasn't too happy about it, but he was still flapping his wings.
Well, you know, I learned the little cup trick where you cover...
Put the slice piece of paper in?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was a whole group of them, man. I would have needed like a mason jar. I didn't have it. So, yeah, you know, I got scared. There's too many of them.
1-800-423-8255. Liz Wright's here with me in the studio. Where are we going next? To Newton, Massachusetts. Bob's on the line. Hello, Bob.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks for calling.
I'm enjoying this conversation this morning. I was really interested in the song that you aired a few minutes ago, I'm Confessing That I Love You, which is an old Frank Sinatra song, and I was just I thought her rendition was beautiful, but if I was not familiar with the original song, I might not have recognized it. So she had her own personal way of singing it, and I was just wondering how Liz came upon it and what the background is in deciding to sing that song.
Well, Bob, that was one of the songs that Craig brought to me, and I heard the Louis Armstrong recording of it. That's the one I had. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really didn't come up with this arrangement necessarily. I remember we were in L.A. mixing, and Ron Goldstein, the president of Verve, had asked Craig and I to kind of sweeten up the record a little bit. He said it was a little too melancholy. So... we were going to add this song, and I actually remember having all the guys there from the original recording there in the studio with me in L.A., and I actually took a walk while they were figuring out the arrangement, and I came in, and I don't know, it just felt good. I kind of was pretending I was on a beach somewhere. It was just really fun. I mean, I hate to be so simple about such a great classic, but yeah, that's just the way the words felt to me, and so it was just really easy for it to roll out that way. And I hope, you know, that you, knowing the classic renditions, can appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. It's a song that I've known, you know, since I was very young and always loved. And to hear you sing it in a different way was quite interesting and very nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks for your call, Bob. I kind of have to share something with Bob that... my own familiarity with the songs that predates your handling of them actually makes me enjoy what you do with them more, because there is that extra dimension. And I bet you get that from people who have this, you know, maybe it's a passionate attachment with the Youngbloods and Get Together, and all of a sudden there's Liz doing the same one but different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's fun. You know, I feel like with this record I got to... introduce myself to the real history of my country in a way through music, and to kind of give America back to itself. It's really fun. I think a lot of the root of a lot of our kind of how would I even talk about this? We're into reality now, and everything is so immediate and urgent, and everything gets stale so quickly, you know. But it's really fun, like, to look back at where we've been and what really happened, and to to kind of give history.
Some people are going to know the next song from their history. Ella Jenkins was a musician. Oh, man, she was on Sesame Street. She became the kind of classic kids troubadour. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got one of hers, which I think you're going to play for us live. Am I right on this one? Wake Up, Little Sparrow. Can you do that one?
Yeah, and I'll tell you something, Dick, about this song. When I first heard this, it hit me without knowing it was really a children's song and about Ella. It read to me, the words read to me almost like a code song. You know what I mean by code song? Like the songs that slaves would sing to each other, like to tell where meetings were, or like to encourage each other, and like, because they couldn't really talk while they were working. And so it's so crazy, like, that this is like a little kid song. It's like the complete opposite of...
You have to ask Ella. You have to ask her now.
You know, it blows my mind. It blows my mind. This is a kid song.
Let's listen to it.
Wake up. Wake up. Sparrow, don't make your home out in the snow.
Don't make your home out in the snow. Ago, your friends flew south many months ago. You're just a babe, and you cannot fly. Your wings won't spread up against the sky. Your wings won't spread up against the sky.
Liz Wright, in the name of the song Wake Up Little Sparrow with Mike Moreno and True on guitar. I missed the code the first time I heard that, but it was all over me this time. Now you've got me listening to it in a whole different way. And I suspect that if Kate is going to add another song to her collection for the birthing room, that may well be.
It's even funny, I was thinking about her.
Yeah, so was I. Because it was such a. Because it's the kid's song and because it has that kind of motherly sense or feel to it.
Mm hmm.
If you didn't have easy access to television as a kid, did you have access to radio?
Yeah, I listened to a lot of radio dramas.
Dramas?
Yeah. Uncle Remus and well, stories. There was an Uncle Remus program on the a country gospel station. There was what else was there? Oh, I listened to NPR a lot too, Selected Shorts, and my dad would read to us sometimes. But I listened to the radio a lot.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering what it's like then to have your own stories on the radio now, if you have sort of figured that out yet. It's such a distant thing when you're just listening to it. It's so somewhere else. Do you know what I mean? When you're a kid and listening to it?
It's fun. It's really fun to use your head to make the rest of it. It's really fun. I didn't really have such a problem with the way I was raised, because I lived in my head. I was a quiet kid, who sat in the corner.
Dreaming wide awake?
And still at parties, that's how I am. I just love to sit in the corner and people watch. Like, that's great for me. But, it was fun. Like, in a way, I was encouraged to live in my head until I had to go take the clothes off the line or something. Then I got in trouble for not moving fast enough.
Where were you in the family? Were you middle child then?
Yeah.
Is that a good place to be? Not at the front, not at the back sort of thing?
Well, the firstborn, they're a certain kind of crazy. The baby, that's a certain kind of crazy. In the middle, you're crazy as both of them, but like you just seem balanced because you have like, a wild, front and back. But honestly, It can be an intense position too, you know, because I always wanted to be as independent. My younger sister is so independent and so self-made, you know. I think she's a great woman. My brother is really the talented one. I saw him play piano. He would just listen to stuff and just start playing. And
are you all competitive at all when it comes to music?
No. No, you know what? We were raised so hard. We're best friends.
You needed each other.
Exactly. We love each other deeply. You know, we talk and we laugh every time we talk. I mean, because it's just, we have survived so much together and made fun of it, you know.
And were they part of the singing at the church as well, your brothers and sisters? Brother and sisters?
Brother and sister. You know, there was a time before my brother's voice changed when we all would sing in a trio. There's this Christian collection of, like, children's songs called Salty and the Singing Songbook, or Salty the Singing Songbook.
Okay.
This big blue book. And there's these little stories and these songs. And so my dad would let us listen to that, and we learned how to sing the songs in three-part harmony. And until my brother's voice changed, we would just get up and, you know, he'd have his little squirts down there, you know, making church go, aww. And then, you know, they'd hooray real loud during his sermon. He used us. He totally used us. You know, one day I'm going to write him a bill. I really am. He's still got a big invoice coming from me.
I just looked at your touring schedule. In the next 10 days, you are in Montreal and Germany and Austria and France and London, the Netherlands and Spain. You've got a lot of traveling ahead of you. I want to thank you so much for having a quiet hour with us here on the radio before you head off on that trip.
This is my pleasure, Mr. Gordon.
It's been really nice having you here. Mike Moreno, True on guitar. Liz Wright, here in the studio with me. The name of her album is Dreaming Wide Awake. Let's listen to Dreaming Wide Awake. This is the title cut from the disc. And here I am talking, and she's singing. I'll be quiet now. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.
A brighter sun my heart aches. It has felt the peace of perfect love. My mind fails as I try to recall the bliss of a glorious day. When I was sleeping, eyes wide.